It's Saturday Night
Five.
Saturday night.
Get ready for the Saturday night.
Louder.
Saturday night's alright.
On Saturday night.
Okay, welcome to Dynasty Saturday Night 5. We are live here on your Saturday night. This is a Dynasty Fantasy Football podcast from the Going for Two Live Network. Please subscribe, rate, and review if you're listening on the Going for Two Live podcast feed. Please, if you're watching on video, either here on YouTube now, live, or later on, please make sure that you subscribe to the channel, like the video, leave us a comment or two. That would really help. If you're watching on the Twitters from one of the Twitter accounts that's streaming this, we can't see your comments. So hop on over to the YouTube channel. I don't know if the Twitch comments come through. Maybe they do. I don't know if how much Twitch action we get. I don't have like the cat ears and we're not playing a video game. So I don't know. Like, no, I'm kidding. No shade at Twitch. I'm Brian Ford here with my co-host Josh Walker. As always, Josh, how you doing?
Good. It's that point of year every year in Georgia where I hate summer and I hate getting in my car because I'm sweating before I get 30 seconds down the driveway. Besides that, I'm good. I'm happy to be here. Happy to be talking about do's and don'ts in this time because this is a time where you can make or break your team.
Yeah. I mean, for me personally, like I dread winter and the cold so much. Like I'll deal with summer and if I was forced to choose between the two. But like right now, like spring, you know, before like summer really kicks in, like that's my time to shine. It was like 70 degrees today and sunny here. It was like perfect. Like really good for my mood. Like it was just a beautiful day. I sat out on the balcony, did some reading with the doggos out there. Yeah, it was good stuff. The Dynasty Saturday Night 5, we talk about Dynasty Fantasy Football, but do so using lists of five as just sort of the way into the conversation. And this week's episode, as Josh alluded to, we're going to go over the potential promising processes and possible problematic pitfalls with a Dynasty Dead Zone do's and don'ts. How's that for alliteration, mother truckers? But before we do, we don't really usually do news and notes too much. But we only have the one list of five tonight, not like five each. So I figured we might chop it up just a little bit. Dalvin Cook, you know, I guess is probably the biggest thing going on right now. Once Monday the 5th, Tuesday the 6th came around, I was like, well, you know, we probably would have found out by now. I guess he's going to be a Viking. And then, you know, we find out Thursday that like by the end of the week, he's going to be gone one way or the other. So, Dynasty Impact, what was your first thoughts about the fallout of Dalvin Cook being released or cut or whatever by the Vikings?
I mean, it didn't really do much to shift my opinion on him. I think where he's at with his age, we kind of know the player he is. He seems to be declining just a little bit, but he's still able to make big plays and is still a pretty good running back. So, unless he just goes to a place that isn't desperate for a running back, I don't think it's going to do much. I'll mention a few places I think he's likely to go. I actually want to see him go to the Saints. I think that'd be a good spot for him. It wouldn't be good for people who have Kendre Miller and Kamara, but I think that's one of the more logical places. That or the Cowboys.
I didn't even think of that. Yeah.
Yeah, the Cowboys would be another pretty good one too because they do just have Pollard. You know, he doesn't – that way you could kind of eat into both of their workload so you don't have to worry about either one of them getting hurt. Those are two I want to see or I think would be good for him, but I've been seeing a lot of Dolphins, and I just don't think that's good for anybody.
It's going to be low volume. It's going to hurt A-Chain. Like, I don't really see that as a great place. I've heard Cowboys as well. I heard the Jets get thrown around a lot. Not really sure what's up with that. I mean, I think they're okay at running back. They don't really need
them.
Have
to be a one-year thing, right?
But they have the cap room, which I guess is – and they're kind of a win-now team, which I think is one reason why they're getting bandied about. Like, you know, so say he lands on Dallas. What does that do to your view of his value or Pollard's value?
That is one of the few where I'd probably bump his value up just a little. I mean, I don't know exactly where I have him, but he's in like the 30s or 40s, so he's not maybe even a little – he might be a little higher than that, but he's not someone I'm super interested in. But I do think with the Cowboys, without hurting Pollard's production, I think that'd be a good spot for him because it at least – I don't want to say guarantee, but it at least assure he'd have some goal line carries because I think he's better than Malik Davis and Ronald Jones.
Yeah,
and
for
I
sure.
He just basically slid in and did what Zeke did with Pollard probably getting more carries than he did last year. So I think that would be one of the better places for him to go.
Yeah, it would ding Pollard a bit for me for sure, right? Because
just a touch, yeah.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking the other day, like, Mike McCarthy said, oh, we're going to run more. Kellen Moore wanted to pass too much. But, like, what they've done with their personnel has kind of told me, like, maybe that might not be true, you know? Unless they really think somehow that, you know, you can really increase Pollard's touches that much, which I don't think you can. But so, yeah, I'd have to ding Pollard a bit if he landed there. But I don't think it really changes him one way or the other. As far as Cook goes, I have him at running back 27. You know, he's a 28-ish-year-old, you know, running back. He's not, like, you know, completely washed up. But, you know, he is what he is, declining, injuries, that sort of thing, age. Madison, though, from what we know right now, steps into that RB1 role there on the team. He was floating between running back 30 and 35 for me pretty much all offseason. Kind of baked into that was like the expectation that Cook was going to be gone. You know, I was already baking that in. So he's at 29 for me. He's at the top of a tier of 29, you know, to 37. I was looking at some trades for Madison, and it's all over the place. Like, there are people who are able to, like, extract, like, a first plus for Madison, and then there are things that are like, wait, what? Why would you give him up for that? It's a little all over the place. I only have a few shares. I think I only have, like, four. I'm probably holding in a couple places because I think – everybody knows, like, it's a Madison sell window, so now nobody wants to buy. But yeah. What are your thoughts on Madison now with Cook gone?
You know, I kind of missed out on the Madison train in Dynasty, at least, because all the startups I'm doing this year, cat's out of the bag, and people are grabbing them maybe a little bit before I'm comfortable doing that. And I didn't really draft them much as a handcuff, so I don't have too many shares. But if I did, you know, unless there's like a Vikings fan in your league or something, I would just try and hold and just see what happens. I mean, if you could, it doesn't hurt to offer, but I think, like you said, most people have already caught up with the market and know that people are just trying to sell them.
Yeah. And I think it's important to note that, like, Madison's good. He's not Dalvin Cook. Nope. Never was, never will be. I think in 4 years that he's played in the NFL, he's had five games where he had 50 or more snaps. Now, he's done really well in those games, right? Like, I think his average points per game was like around 20, something like that. But, like, that's five games. Like, you can't say, oh, well, now we're going to take that and say, oh, on a 17 game pace, it's going to be this, you know, to the moon. It's just not like that, especially in today's NFL when they're going to rotate guys in there. I happen to be a little higher on Ty Chandler than consensus. Surprise, surprise. It's what I do with some of these, like, you know, weird running backs. I think if Madison were to get injured, he would get more touches than McBride, but McBride would have, like, TD upside because he'd get the work inside, like, the five-yard line and that sort of thing. So I expect all three guys to be used. I think Chandler is your better bet for catching passes between the two, especially if Madison were to go down between him and McBride, where McBride's your better bet probably for, like, you know, coming in as like a you know, getting the, you know, first and second down work. Any interest in either of those pieces?
Yeah, I actually really like Ty Chandler a lot, and where he's going now, kind of like we talked about Jerome Ford, it's kind of similar players going similar time. They don't even need an injury to be relevant, but if one happens, they're going to be one of the better handcuffs in the league. So I actually really like Ty Chandler, and if Madison gets hurt, I would just see, not to the extent, but Dwayne McBride just basically being Jamal Williams, coming in within the 10-15 yard line, maybe taking a like a drive or two, just getting some early load. But I think Ty Chandler is going to have value even without an injury. And I don't see McBride having that.
Yeah. So speaking of trades, and then we'll kind of land the plane on this. Jamie, it doesn't count. Like, Jamie, you play with toddlers. Like, I don't know what goes on in these leagues where you're shipping off Madison for the 109 and then you draft Kincaid. But, like, some other trades, like, so on the one hand, like, I'm seeing here on June 9th a trade where somebody got a 25 first and a 24 third for Madison. That's pretty damn good. You know, I'll take that in a heartbeat. Then I look at other trades, you know, same day, June 9th, yesterday, Tank Bigsby straight up. Like, I mean, technically speaking, I have Bigsby ranked higher, but I know in the market I should be able to get a plus.
Yeah,
for Bigsby. And then you have a trade where someone's getting Rashad White in a 24 second for Madison, which is a little surprising to me because I think a lot of people are higher on Rashad White than I am. But then you have somebody who is shipping off, I think it was Madison and Mac Jones. So, you know, starting quarterback in a super flex. It's Mac Jones, but it's a starting quarterback in a super flex. And Madison, and they didn't get really much back. I think it was like a 24 second and like a minor piece for it. So like it's all over the place. I mean, and then Madison and Spears for a 24 first, like Madison straight up for 24 first, Madison and Mac Jones for a 24 first. Like if you're only getting a 24 first for Madison and a starting quarterback, like, so like anyway, TLDR, the values are all over the place. See what you can do in whatever, you know, leagues you're in. You know, maybe deep stashes for Chandler and McBride, that sort of thing. But, yeah, so that's about it.
So I just want to – the only thing I have to add on to that, I agree. Jamie, I don't know something about Jamie. I'm just going to give him a shout-out real quick. He's doing a co-commissioner with me in a league. We traded the 109 in a rookie draft, and Rondo Moore, who we were 100% going to drop because it's a 10-team league, for the 108 and got JSN. So we basically just traded the pick straight up. So I don't know what it is about Jamie, but he makes it happen.
It's Houdini. He's got, I don't know. He's got these folks.
So shout out Jamie.
Hypnotized, right?
Yeah.
All right. So today's show is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy, the industry leader with best ball leagues, tournaments, pick'ems, all sorts of sports, not just football. Get in now on some of these drafts. There's Best Ball Mania and puppies and poodles and I don't know, stuff, right? People are doing golf on there, right? And if you are a new Underdog user starting a new Underdog account, you can your first deposit, they will match it up to $100 if you use the promo code GF2. So go to underdog.com, go to the Underdog app. If you're watching here in Videoville, we have our fancy little QR code there on the screen. It'll take you right to it. And sign up, start that account, use promo code GF2. They'll deposit match up to $100, start playing, maybe start winning. Who the heck knows? One more promo for you, and that is the Personal League Podcast, or PLPs. That we do here on Going for Two, where we take your dynasty league and we do a podcast just about that league for you and your league mates. You can go to goingfor2.com and go to the PLPs. I think it's in the top menu thingy, the bar there, and sign up for one. And we're doing them live now this season. You and I have been on a couple of those. So, you know, we hop on, you know, the restream and go to the YouTubes and you and your league mates can hang out in the chat and, you know, go back and forth with us while we're breaking down your rosters and, you know, breaking your hearts and making fun of your teams or, you know, giving you good trades to make and that sort of thing. We got one coming up on I think, June 16th for a league. I'm not going to be able to make it. I'm going to be in Chicago. But, yeah, go to goingfor2.com. Sign up for PLP. They're a lot of fun.
Yeah.
All right. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right. So here's my little audio gimmick that we're doing because, of course, you can't share the audio of a tab through Restream like I can like on a Zoom meeting, so there is a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to humans. It is a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity. It is in the middle ground between light and shadow, between rookie drafts and training camps. And it is lies between the pit of UDFAs and the summit of players occasionally in pads. This is the dimension of imagination. It is an area we call the Dead Zone. We are in the Dynasty Dead Zone here in June, heading into July, and we're here to tell you how to handle this seemingly lull in activity for a lot of your league mates, but not you, because you're watching and listening to Dynasty Saturday Night Five. So we have five tips for you here, some do's, some don'ts with the Dynasty Dead Zone. You want to get us started, Josh?
I was going to let you, because I did two and you have three. That way I can kind of go in between. But I do feel like that would have hit a lot different for me if I'd actually seen the Twilight Zone.
Yeah, well, okay. Like, please, like, you've never seen the Twilight Zone?
Nope.
Ever? Like, any of the old episodes, like Burgess Meredith, like, I finally have time to read all these books?
No, the only black and... It's black and white, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The only thing I watch like that, Sandy Griffith show.
I'm leaving.
Well, it was a fun show tonight. Thanks for.
I mean, like, I need a new co-host. I need man on the wing. William Shatner, before the Star Trek days. There's a man on the wing. No. Yeah.
I've seen Airplane.
Well, that's classic. Yeah. Okay. All right. So my first one is a Dynasty Dead Zone do, and that is up your research game. So what do I mean by that? Well, you don't have to set a lineup every week. And like I said, some of your league mates are a little quieter and a little more inactive this time of year. So you're going to have more time now to just like dig deep, right? So just research. Get into the data side of things as much as you can, dig into numbers that you don't really have time to dig into, learn things like what's expected fantasy points or expected points added, or, pass rate over expectation, learn about like the, how things like targets per route run or target share, like affect fantasy football. And I would say there's some good free stuff out there, that's good. But I'll throw down a few coins here and there, to people's Patreons and things like that to dig into some things. I'm doing an episode next week of Dynasty Fever on wide receivers. And I finally got some time to look into some of the 2022 profiles from Matt Harmon's Reception Perception, right? And it, it really, I think, was enlightening. And so take the time to, soak up all the stuff that you can, right? Be a sponge for all the information you can, right? Listen to podcasts, read articles, go to websites, get into the data. A good website that I would suggest too, that's not necessarily like research of the kind I've been talking about so far, but research into like you and your leagues. And they're not giving me a penny for this, right? Dynasty-daddy.com. It's a really cool website. Like, it's free. Like, you can pay for like a roster review and things like that. But basically, you just plug in your sleeper name, your MFL name, and that sort of thing. And then, boom, you've got like power rankings for your league. You've got like how many shares of each player you have. You've got like the value of your entire Dynasty portfolio over time, broken down into like positions and things. Like, it's really, really, I think, a cool resource, from some good people. And it's free, dynasty-daddy.com. So that's a good way for you to also kind of, take the time and dive into things. Because I think not just research into like fantasy football stuff and numbers and knowledge and terms and vocab and strategy and theory, right? But, also like you and your league mates and what your rosters are like, I think is important, which I think kind of leads into your first tip about evaluating your teams.
Yeah, I just want to add a few things on what you said real quick before I got into that. So you mentioned reception perception. That is the one tool that I used over last offseason that really helped me with evaluating wide receivers. Like, Matt Harmon does such a good job. It's worth every cent you pay to get that, see all the profiles. It's easy to look at. It's got graphs if you don't want to read too much. So I would definitely suggest hooking up a reception perception and doing that. But also play around with Excel and make your own spreadsheets. That helped me with DFS this year. I went in there and figured out, you know, made my own charts, my player pool, their average scores, stuff like that. So if you just have some downtime, just play with some stuff on Excel. That's going to help you also. So yeah, I'll dive into mine. I had the wrong sheet pulled up. Yeah, so this is a do. I think both of mine are do's. Or no, one's a do. So I'm going to evaluate your team and figure out if you're in a place to win now or rebuild. And that starts with assessing your strengths and weaknesses. You know, this is a big thing. It helps you find good trade targets. And it also includes looking at your team and others to see if there's a mutually beneficial trade can work. I think that's a big part I learned is don't just try and go after guys you like on another team and trade them running backs if they have four or five good running backs. They're usually just going to deny it, probably not going to want to work with you too much. So I think it's really important to go in, look at other teams as well as yours, and see if you can find a good trade partner based on their strengths and weaknesses as well. And if you have a roster of aging vets and you lack youth, it's probably time to, you know, sell off some of those assets to teams trying to win now. You can either get picks or some young players to try and, you know, kind of get your average age a little younger. Yeah, it's just good to get in early, know before the season starts what your team can do, where they're at. That way you can capitalize on certain free agent moves. Like if you have a Dalvin Cook, you see he signs to the Dolphins and you hate it, you could probably capitalize that and sell it to someone who thinks that's going to be good. Mm-hmm. And you probably won't be willing to do that if you think you have a win now team and, you know, you're like, you're just going to throw Dalvin Cook out there and still get, you know, seventh or eighth place and, you know. So I think it's good just to get out ahead of that before the season starts so you can capitalize on a lot of buzz and hype that you hear throughout this time.
Yeah. You know, first thing I do in the off season is update like my spreadsheet. I used to be like super meticulous about it. Like I would have like every single player list, essentially doing the types of things that some of these websites now do for us. Right. But now what I do is I just have like, you know, I have like a, the league and like it's color coded, whether it's like best ball or Devy or C2C or regular dynasty. Right. And then like the settings, you know, like super flex mm-hmm. and tight end premium and like the scoring. Cause like some things are like, you know, they have like hella bonuses. Others it's like, you know, like I have a couple leagues, it's like -4 points for an interception, you know? So like I have that noted in there, you know, and then I have like some roster highlights, like not the entire 30 person roster, but just some of the core players there. And then like a notes column on like, what am I doing? Right. Am I competing yep. in 2023? What, like, am I trying to move towards, you know, moving certain guys, et cetera, et cetera, you know? And then I'm going to be adding a column too about like other teams in the league and managers that I know are good to work with and some of their tendencies and things like that. And it's something that, you know, taking just those few minutes each day, you know, and building that spreadsheet out is really, really valuable for things like that. Yeah.
Yeah. It seems like a lot of work for in a lot of leagues, but if you just spend 10, 15 minutes on like two or three of your teams a day, you can knock them all out in a week, you know, figure out a time that works and just do it throughout the week. So you're not doing it all at once and sitting there for 3 or 4 hours and getting tired.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Yeah. And what's really cool is you get to, you know, learn more skills with, Excel and yep. Google Sheets and things like that, so you can you know, expand your repertoire. I'm very basic with it. Like I know like one, I know how to sum, like, you know, add up numbers and have a total. That's it. Like that's about it. You know, I know how to like make the colors and mm-hmm. split cells and freeze rows, but like some people are like ninjas in it, and it's like you don't have to be, you know. It's just like whatever whatever is a good way to organize information for yourself.
For you, yeah.
Yeah. So you would mention capitalizing on buzz, and so I'm gonna kind of follow up with a don't here, and that's don't overreact to camp buzz. So I was on the Gambit, Armchair? I don't know. I was on one of them, and I was joking and saying that like every single piece of camp buzz is actionable, right? Like just joking, because like 90% of it isn't. Like maybe even more than 90% of it, right? I mean, I get the notifications from, the 32 Beat Writers Twitter account, and there's some, good information. You're keeping track of things there, right? But, these beat writers, they have to put stuff out, right? Not every toss, from one person to another in shorts is really worth caring about, right? And a lot of stuff is, I heard this or that, right? Anyway, it boils down to this for me, right? Since there's so much coach speak and so much smoke, and we don't know like how depth charts are really shaping up yet and that sort of thing, right? I don't know if one person came up with this or not, and it's just kind of been repeated all over. So if I'm not giving the person credit, I apologize. But the way it's been told to me is sell the hype, buy the news, right? So when it's actually real and actionable, right? Like that's, when you might, buy it. Otherwise, when it looks like hype and buzz, right, that's when you sell it, right? When we get like a fun video of something happening at practice, and then like a day later coach says so-and-so blah 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 excellent to the moon, right? Then now there's buzz, right? Now it's like, oh, player's value is ticking up, and that's when you capitalize on it. But as far as like for yourself, don't overreact to these things that are happening in June and into July, right? Like you'll probably have a better time with waivers if you're waiting till August than you are taking a chance on players now. Now that's not to say like you don't pick up any players now, right? You have to be strategic with the way you use your fab. Some leagues, you have like an off-season fab and it resets in the season. Some you don't. So you have to be even more, strategic with it. But, if you're, adding a wing and a prayer guy now because you heard something cool. Like, for example, I've heard a couple cool things about Jaleel McLaughlin in Denver camp, right? Super fast, can catch passes. Probably has like a certain skill set that neither P. Ryan nor Javonte Williams have, right? So I've added them in a couple places, but like $0 bid, $2 bid, right? Like, and he's not somebody that I'm going to hesitate to get rid of later, because by August, when we get closer to the season, that's when the information will be more actionable, when the depth charts really start taking shape. When, the offensive tendencies and, things like that, we know a lot more about them. So hold up, don't overreact, don't spend too much money on guys now just because there's buzz, because you'll have more information to work on in August. And that's not to say that there aren't certain guys that you might want to take a flyer on here or there, use a dollar in like, 1% of your leagues or something like that on Ronald Jones, because who the hell knows, right? But, don't go nuts over it. Like 95% of the stuff you're hearing now is not actionable. There's just a lot of smoke and a lot of coach speak and that sort of thing. So relax. Yeah.
No, I agree. It's, short season in football equals quad season, and quad season can lead you to spending way too much on players that don't deserve it. And just off the top of my head, I can think of two in the past 2 years. So 2 years ago, Mike Davis went to the Falcons. His pictures at a camp, he had on these shorts. His quads were massive. He looked massive. Everyone's like, buy Mike Davis. People are going out trading for Mike Davis. And he was absolutely horrible. Same thing with A.J. Dillon last year. People were like, buy A.J. Dillon. He's huge. He's ripped. He's going to run through all the tackles. He didn't do any of that. So don't pay too much attention to people on Twitter who are really bored. Myself included, I do it.
Mm-hmm.
Who are bored and just want something to talk about and something to hype up, trying to get clicks. So, yeah, I agree with everything you said.
I was joking with somebody the other day. They posted this tweet about it was a Tampa Bay Buccaneers blog that was like, you know, nobody believes in the Buccaneers this year, right? And so then, like, I responded to that person with like a fake checklist of things for the off season, and it's like, nobody believes in us or me. Best shape of his/my life. Great catch versus air. Great throw to the guy making the catch versus air in shorts. So and so looks good, ready for week one. You know, that
Kyle
sort of
Trask
stuff.
Locked in.
Yeah, exactly. Right. You know, and it's like, it's going to happen every single offseason, and you can't really put too much credence into these things. You know, you may miss out on something now in June by following this advice, but I almost guarantee you, you'll miss out on less than you will if you just kind of hold off and wait till you have more information upon which to make your decisions later on in the offseason.
And you could even use that to your advantage if, you know, say you have A.J. Dillon, people are talking about how good he looks, and you know that it's just smoke. You know, try and sell him for more than he should go. So,
oh yeah.
If anything, just stay smart about it and use it to your advantage if you can.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, my next one is a don't, and I have a trouble with this, especially in baseball. Don't trade out of boredom.
I'm sorry, you used a word there that begins with B. I'm not sure what it was.
Boredom.
No. There's another one. Another one in there. Began with B.
I love trading in baseball. Yeah, don't trade out of boredom, and don't make lateral or downward moves just for the sake of making a trade. I said before, know what other teams need and make something work, and that helps both teams. You know, that's a huge part of it. It also helps get a good reputation with people in your league. Like, if you make a few good trades that help both of you, that person, if they need something, is going to come to you before they start going to other people or put somebody on the block. So I think that's pretty important, and especially in active leagues, not getting dicked over with bad trade offers. You know, set a good relationship with everybody. Don't get too anxious when things are slow. I've traded myself into worse spots simply because I was bored. You know, I'm just bored. Someone offers me, you know, another running back that's just as good but might have slight more injury risk, and then he gets hurt. I'm stuck without a running back. The other one goes off. So just, again, I'm going to repeat myself. Don't trade just because you're bored. And also another part, I've noticed this with orphans. I've taken over a few orphans this year. Don't give in to persistent trade offers from the same person who just harasses you into making a deal. That is actually some people's strategy. They said they're just going to break your will until you just say fuck it and accept the trade, even if it doesn't work for you. So don't do that. You know, stick to your guns, be firm. If you don't like a person, or you don't like people that they're trying to give you, just maybe send them a message, be like, look, I'm not looking for this guy, stop sending me offers. So just be persistent, and or don't give in to persistence, and be firm with what you believe.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. A fun story about the person pestering you, you know, with a million trade offers. So I took over this this Debbie orphan, and it's real old, like a lot of old players, and it was a win now squad, and it needs youth, it needs capital, that sort of thing to sort of balance things out, right? And so, you know, as soon as I joined the league, this person sends me like three offers for Justin Jefferson, right? And they're not great offers. They're like, let me pile up like 1,000 picks, you know, let me pile up 100 pennies for your dollar, sort of thing, right? And I kind of turn them down. I'm like, you know, not really looking to move Jefferson right now, and certainly not for that, you know. Yeah. Okay, well, you know, yeah. Doors open whenever you're ready, right? And like every time I've talked to this person with what I think is reasonable trade discussions for Debbie, they have been very dismissive of those conversations. And every time they end with, but if you want to trade Jefferson, and it's like, I almost want to trade Jefferson to somebody else.
Yeah.
Without checking in with that person, just because that person's doing that.
Yeah. No.
But yeah. No. It's you know, and also you know when it comes to if you're retooling, like if you're taking over an offering that's like really old and you're gonna blow it up, right? Which I'm about to do in a league that I took over, right? Don't take pennies on the dollar, right? Like you may have to take like 75 cents, 80 cents on the dollar for a couple assets, particularly when like everybody knows you're trying to get rid of like the older players and they're older players, right? But you know, don't just because you like, oh, I need to blow this up, I need to, you know, be patient. And this is coming from somebody who's not great at being patient. And also, like, if you are gonna like retool a little bit and like push that reset button, you know, try to this may sound contradictory to my last, you know, statement, but like try to make an early trade, right? So like there's a sense of the market, you know what I mean? What I've seen happen is, you know, you're in this league and maybe there's some jabronis in it and it, you know, it's not like 12 really solid people and some dumb trade gets made, right? And now the market is set that, you know, an RB1 is worth et cetera and they messed it up for you, you know? So like there's that balance between like, you know, don't just, you know, be in a rush to rebuild this orphan, but at the same time, like, you know, don't let some dumb trade, you know, set the market and, you know, then you're screwed.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Just be smart about it. Someone like, I don't know, I'm trying to think off the top of my head, someone like James Conner, maybe might not have the most value right now, but 3 or 4 weeks in, if he has like 2 or 3 out of the 4, like RB1 finishes, I guarantee you there's someone out there who's going to want to pay for him. So you might not be able to make a deal in the offseason. But like you said, be patient and you don't have to have everyone sold off before the year starts to be able to tank. So,
yeah. And Jamie brings up a point too, you know, that not everybody agrees with, but I do. It's just the way that I operate. Like if I decline and I don't counter, right, I'll give them a few comments on like the trade, right? Not only do I think that that's just like courteous to do, because I hate when people don't like say anything, you know, to me. But also because it just keeps the dialogue going. And I've had, as Jamie notes here, I've had more trades emerge from conversations that I like started after I declined a trade, right? I've had trades happen starting from those conversations, rather than the people who are like, and this works for them, right? Like my partner, my co-host Jesse on Dynasty Fever, he's like, I send 1,000 trades. I expect none of them to get, you know, I decline and don't respond, all right? And like he gets trades done. He gets probably more total trades done than I do. But I find that the way that I like to operate is more relational than that. And just it really keeps those because like there's a few people, like I don't want to like call them out or whatever, like their sleeper names and stuff. I know when I'm in a league with them, I can go talk to them and they'll be reasonable because we've been reasonable with each other before and not tried to screw each other over. And I'm going to get something done quicker with them because I have a good relationship with them. So,
yeah. One more don't, which this might just be a pet peeve of mine. Don't send me an offer and then send me a picture of a trade calculator showing me how fair it is. Because there was one earlier, trade me David Montgomery and like a bunch of thirds and fourths for, I can't remember who off the top of my head, I can look. But I was already looking at it, probably going to decline. But then as soon as I saw he put a KTC picture in there, I just declined it and didn't even respond to him, just because that's just something that bugs me. It feels almost patronizing, like he doesn't trust that I can value players, and right. I just don't think it's smart to do that.
So I'm going to put in the chat for those of you watching here on the YouTubes, my magnum opus. I turned all my pet peeves and anger into a slightly humorous article on goingfor2.com about the 10 commandments of dynasty fantasy football trading. There's some of it that I would change now. It was written 9 months ago, and like I've changed a little bit, but I stand by the core of the message. And like, don't be a trade calculator screenshot guy is one of the commands. So commandments. So yeah.
Yep.
Where are we here? Is it my turn?
Yep. I think you're on the last one.
All right. Yeah. And that is, don't think about your lineups too much yet, right? It's June. You're not setting lineups, right? I think it's good to have an idea of like, oh, okay, well, I'm thinner at this position than I am at this position. Like, I'm not saying throw that out the window, but you're not setting a lineup in June. If you're making trades now or you're doing waiver transactions now, you want to really lean into value, right? Acquire the most value that you can, right? Acquire the most buying power in the future that you can, right? You may not need a wide receiver, but if wide receiver X's value is going to go up and you think he's undervalued by the market right now and he's a good buy, buy him, right? Because then you can then flip that wide receiver when the value does go up because you're right and you're awesome for something that you do, quote unquote, need more in the season later on when you get closer to like August, September, and that sort of thing. And I think that's especially true with running backs. Like, you don't want to overpay for running backs, especially now. Like, it's really weird because on the one hand, it's easy to get running backs because they're hard to sell, right? But one of the reasons they're hard to sell is because people don't want them. So even though they're easy to get, you may not want to buy any, right? So you want to be especially selective about running backs this early in the off season, and try to, you know, if you're going to acquire them, do it more toward the end of the off season. But also at the same time, if you're going to sell them, you know, you might get more for them at the end of the off season than you do now, right? So it's a weird way that market works, and I think it's from league to league and manager to manager and running back to running back, it can differ. But that's like a general rule that I have. They can be cheaper, but do you want them? You know, is the question, right? But I would say if you think you can get a player like Jerome Ford that we've talked about a lot, if you can get him added into a trade, right, that you think is at good value, right, that's something you do, right? Yep. Something where you expect, you know, that perhaps the value to go up, injury away kind of guy, that sort of thing, you know. So I don't know, right? But on the other hand, like, you know, is JT going to be any cheaper, you know, in November than he is now? Right. So if that's something that you were interested in. So it's real, like I said, case by case basis. But in general, my advice is, A, don't worry about your lineups too much in June for sure. And B, don't really worry too much about acquiring running backs this early in the offseason.
Yeah. So my strategy that is almost opposite. And I consider this to be a power move on my end. I set the best lineup I can. And before that other person can, I screenshot it, send it to them, say, boy, you're in trouble in 4 or 5 months here. It's a way to assert, I'm trying to assert my dominance, you know. Basically just like, go ahead and make them worried about week one. That way they can sit and stew over it for 3 months. Mm. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, I agree with what you said. Don't pay too much attention to it unless you just want to look at it and just revel over it, kind of like roster baiting in the league, as they say, if you want to just look at it and admire your work.
I mean, it's good to know, like, okay, if I had to set a lineup today, it would look like this, right? And so yep. Where am I the thinnest and where are my strengths, right? You know, I mean, that's not, you know, not useful, right? But like, oh, I need an RB2. No, you don't. It's June, right?
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
No, I agree.
So when it comes to the dead zone, any other tips and tricks that come to mind as far as things to do and not do this time of year?
This is the hardest part for me. I'm very impatient. Just be patient. We got a lot of time. Mm-hmm. That's it. Kind of sums up all our points. We talked about it at some point. So just, yeah, be patient. Fine. I don't know. It helps being a big baseball fan, because I can, when I'm getting really bored and anxious with football, I can just go and do something else. So find another hobby or another sport to watch or something if you really just are getting antsy with football.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I obviously am not into baseball, but the first tip that I did with the like up your research game, that kind of scratches my itch of like getting that fantasy football dopamine, right? Without having to dive into Sleeper and send trade offers and try to, you know, make waiver wire acquisitions that may not matter, right? You know, I kind of feel like, you know, I'm scratching that itch, you know. Like I completely that tier or two of wide receivers that I've been talking about, like wide receiver 18 to like 39 in my rankings, right? I shuffled that up a lot like this past couple days, right? That scratched my itch. That got the, you know, the fantasy football dopamine, right? So yeah, you know, don't rush into things. Fools rush in, they say.
Yeah. There's also always plenty of startups for $5-$10 or even free going on. So if you just need to scratch that itch, just join another startup and just draft. It usually takes a while if you do a slow one. So
or right, if you don't want to take on another startup, because even at $10, you're going to have to set a lineup every week. You can go to underdog.com, open the Underdog app, and use promo code GF2 and get a deposit match of up to $100. Hey,
I tried to do that. Yeah. I tried to do that, not realizing it was for people new to Underdog. I was like, where's the place to put the promo in? I want to match and, you know, drop in $25 and get 50.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I'm not great at the thing is, people like have taken best ball and like galaxy brained it, right? Like really the strategy, the theory, the, you know, like kind of like the, like it's got like that DFS embedding vibe to it, right? Like where like, you know, people are using some of the same like info to get an edge on those things. They're using it in best ball too. And I don't know, I have some people will have like 75, you know, best ball leagues, and like they know their portfolio exposure and things like that. And I'm like, Boyd, let me draft a best ball league. Like that's how I treat it, right? So I'm just there having fun. So like I'm the mark. You know what I mean?
No, the first year I did best ball, someone's like, "Bro, you have no week 17 correlation." I'm like, "What?" I was like, "Oh, are you talking about?" I got a good team. He's like, "Yeah, but you're gonna suck week 17." I'm like, "How do you know that?"
I forgot, because I'm so used to Dynasty, right? Yeah. Like I forgot about like kind of sort of caring about bye weeks, you know what I mean? Like, because I play so little redraft, right? And I'm looking at my best ball roster, I'm like, oh fudge, three out of my five running backs are off week 7. This is not good.
No, in my Scott Fish Bowl, I think all my players but three had the same bye week, and they were 2 weeks. It was like 11 and 12. So I went from doing really good to it absolutely crushed me. So yeah, pay attention to bye weeks.
All right. Hey, whoa, Dr. Jim checking in and appreciating my wonderful professional transition into into Underdog. Thank you very much.
We must have missed the professional segue we had with the Twilight Zone.
Yeah. Yeah. Dr. Jim, can I rely on you to put in the chat whether or not you've seen an episode of the old Twilight Zone, like the old black and white, like 50s and 60s Twilight Zone? Please say yes.
Jamie's on my side.
Please save my faith in humanity that there are people who still get those cultural references. But
would you expect anything else from a millennial? Let's be honest.
I don't I don't even know what that means, because like I don't need, like, are you a millennial making fun of like the fact that you don't know? Are you saying I'm old because I'm a millennial and you're Gen Z? Like, I don't even know what you're even referring to.
Both.
Okay.
I'm saying it's like someone not a millennial who's older just assumes millennials don't experience anything outside of their own reality.
Right. Okay. So, okay. Yeah. So he's 47. What are I? Okay. So yes, you've seen the darn Twilight Zone. Yeah, I'm on a cusp of Gen X and millennial. We're called Xennials. You know, it's like if you're born between like roughly 77 and 82 or 83, like it's this weird like cusp generation that I'm a part of. But people talk about, oh, millennials this, millennials that. Like, effing millennials are 40 now, you know?
Yeah. I mean, no, yeah, I'm 30, 31, 32, and I'm a millennial. So that's not quite the same as it used to be.
I mean, but tell you what, like, and we're gonna close out because we're kind of off the rails here. But I love Gen Z, right? And like, I know people like whatever with the young kids, like every generation, it sounds the same. Like people roll their eyes and like, don't get me wrong, some of the music like makes my soul hurt when I hear it. But right, basically the Zoomers said like, we've inherited a world that was destroyed by the previous generations. So rather than like go through the motions of like hope and optimism and like taking on $100,000 debt for college, we're going to vape cannabis and go on TikTok. And like, I love them for that. Like, you don't know how much I love them for saying like F you, but like in a way that like isn't like completely socially unconscious either. Not like this sort of like nihilistic escapist, like we're not going to care about any like real issues in the world, but like, I love them.
Hey, no, I'm with you. You know, millennials and Gen Z, they're basically ushering the new age of Dadaism, you know, coming off of World War One, all the atrocities. They made meme culture. That's basically the new Dadaist movement.
Oh, now you're getting way too...
You said we're off the rails, so I'm just going to keep going off the rails.
That's a little esoteric for me. Like meme culture is neo-Dadaism. I gotta follow that line of thinking somehow. I'll Google that. Jamie's saying that Brian would sit in front of the old radio and listen to Twilight Zone before TVs were invented. You know, you laugh, but people sat in their living room around the radio and like looked at the radio as like whatever Little Orphan Annie and The Shadow and things like that was playing.
No, there's actually a thing in New Jersey or New York where they showed something about aliens coming and taking over the radio, and people thought it was real.
Yeah, it's called War of the Worlds.
That's what it was.
Youngster. Orson Welles.
Hey, at least I know about it.
Yeah, yeah. People really thought that Martians were landing in New Jersey. Yeah. We could use a little Martian invasion in New Jersey, let me tell you.
Hey.
All right. So please subscribe, rate, and review on the Going for Two Live podcast audio feed. Please make sure you subscribe, like, and turn on notifications and comment here on the YouTube channel. Time for plugs. Josh, where can we find you and your work?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Rotonaut, Rotonaut. And if you look on the Going for Two Live YouTube, me and Jamie were actually on a show with Gladys last Thursday talking about wrestling. So check that out. Check out all the shows, one every night of the week. And you can find my rankings at goingfortwo.com. I think that's it. Yep.
Baseball and wrestling.
Oh yeah,
Whatever. I watched
mustache now, so I gotta embrace my trashiness.
I watched, you know, like Hulk Hogan and the Iron Sheik and stuff when I was a kid, you know, like in the '80s. But like, I don't know, like whatever. I mean, everybody's got their thing, but like, I always find it interesting that like there's like people my age, like 45, like almost 50, that are like still watching like, you know, WrestleMania and stuff. I'm like, really? Okay.
Yeah, I don't watch it anymore, like live, but I still enjoy it.
All right, so Josh is embracing his inner ravishing Rick Rude. I love it.
We'll just keep that, you know, neck up. Don't look down, because the rest of that is lacking compared to Rick.
Yeah, Rude. Okay. The origin of the Twilight Zone discussion on replay. You know what? I'm not going to spoil it for you, Dr. Jim. I'll let you go back in and listen. We love that you're a dedicated listener to the replays. You can find me on Twitter at FFJunkie_, articles and rankings on goingfortwo.com. You can find me on Dynasty Fever. Episodes drop audio only on Thursday. This week, it may drop at a different day, but we're going to have friend of Going for Two, Tom Tipple, on to talk about the 76,000 wide receiver twos in Dynasty. It's going to be fun. And let's see, rpofootball.com and RPO Football YouTube channel, going to be doing a little bit of content on there too. When you go to goingfortwo.com, go to the little bottom right and you can click on the purple Discord thingy and join our free Discord. lots of conversations and channels, including a channel just for this show. But for those of you who are in Scott Fishbowl, we're churning out Scott Fishbowl mocks like it's our job. Fast mocks, slow mocks. We got a channel for each draft slot, right? So we are your home, your destination for all things SFB 13 as you prep for that. So, please make sure that you join that. Even if you're not in and you're interested in kind of like how people draft with this sort of, you know, funky scoring and things like that. And we also have a way that you can donate to Going for Twos, like a company-wide donation that we're going to give on the Podathon coming up as well. So, yeah.
So as Thomas, you said Thomas is on this show next week?
No, Dynasty Fever. Okay. Yeah.
I was about to say, we're really going to argue about Jahan Dotson then.
Oh, man. You know, like, I like Dotson a lot, but, like, probably not as much as you. But more than Thomas.
Yeah, that's fair to say. I'll have to check that out then. That'll be good.
Yeah. All right, folks. Well, we had a fun one tonight. A little dead zone do's and don'ts, little Twilight Zone cultural reference that my young partner here did not get. But we always appreciate you spending 60-ish minutes with us, whether it's audio later, video now, video later. Etc. And remember, like, you can win in the dead zone, but like part of winning in the dead zone is like not overreacting and acting impulsively, which aren't my strong suits.
Yeah, winning in the dead zone is basically being a tryhard without coming across like a tryhard.
Ooh, okay. I have a tryhard. Okay, so that's like a noun.
My age is showing. That's like a Call of Duty for like. Yeah, it's a whole thing.
Oh, I saw this great tweet that was like, "Oh, you wouldn't last a minute inside a Call of Duty lobby," and the response was like, "Yeah, well, you wouldn't last a minute inside a woman." So, all right, before we get us thrown off the YouTube airwaves, what's that?
Huh? So was that Ben Shapiro?
Oh,
sorry.
There's a Facebook group that I'm a part of, and it's called Turning Ben Shapiro into a Real Boy Was a Mistake. And it's just Ben Shapiro memes. It's effing lovely. Anyway, so love spending time with us. That's a wrap. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. And
go Irish.